there's literally so much intelligence to dreams. I always tell people that dreams are part of like the $1 billion budget, like movie in your head. Have you ever had a dream? Like, oh my God, like all these things happening. How could it happen? It seems so real. You know, that's the part of you that you can tap into for information, for wisdom, and for growth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Juicy Life. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Aaliyah.
And we are so pumped that you have joined us today to discuss what are the key ingredients to living a juicy life and how can we implement them to squeeze all the juice out of this yummy life.
Yes, yes, please, baby.
Today, we are joined by Aisha Ophelia. And you will hear Aaliyah and I fangirl big time over her in just a moment. We have both been huge fans for such a long time. And if you don't follow her on Instagram, you certainly will after this episode.
Ugh, favorite curator by far.
Totally.
So good.
Mm. Aisha has built her purpose and life around her patchwork creativity and deep passion for people, plants, and potential.
So into it. She is, amongst other things, an author, facilitator, coach, oracle, creative curry lover, spiritual provocateur, and complicated woman.
All she is the also, things.
All the things. All of them. She is also the creator of the Girlfriend Manifesto, Society of Wild Hearts, and her latest book and oracle deck, The New Romantics, will hit the shelves in spring of 2024. Cannot wait to get our hands on that.
Yes, 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 yes. We are going to hear us talk a lot about dreams in this episode, and Aisha actually has a dream hotline that we are going to link for you in the show notes, so be sure to check that out.
So fun. Without further ado, enjoy the episode.
You're nervous? Oh my gosh, there's no
I've never had like the double team. The first time that I've, you know, that it's a threesome.
First threesome right now. Yeah, you are in the hot seat, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I hope you perform well for us because we have threesomes all the time. So we're quite experienced.
We are. We're very experienced in a three-way. Oh my gosh. Welcome, Aisha, to the podcast. We are so tickled that you're here. I can't tell you how often I read your Instagram posts and am just like, how is this woman so plugged into the truth? How is she like saying all the things that I know in my heart but can't really articulate into words, and you articulate them? You don't just articulate them though. You like put them into art. It's poetry, it's art, it's visual. Like, I am blown away. I have goosebumps just even thinking about it at the sheer amount of content you create that is so beautiful and poignant and funny.
Deep. All the things. It's like, we've both been following you for a long time, and we've been on the journey with you for, I don't know how long, but like, feels like years. And, you know, your stuff that you post is something that is I probably share it the most because every slide, every carousel is so perfectly built, and it is art. It's poetry. It's like curation, like chef's kiss. It's gold, gold.
Yeah. Everyone is going to go to your Instagram immediately and be like,
Ultimate hype women already feel like friends. This summer will be my 10th year of sharing, and it feels like a big deal because I'm rather more of an introverted person. And so Instagram has been this playground for me to be able to share a lot of things I've accumulated over the years. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that with my story, but I appreciate it. Like, y'all want to be my manager?
we
can barely manage ourselves.
Yeah, we can barely manage our own lives. Like ADHD, 7,000 projects and ideas. Yeah. It's like, oh God. But yes, anytime you need a review, a reference,
Hype
send
women,
them my way.
We're there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's dive in with our first set of questions. Well, our first one question that we always ask people before we go down the different rabbit holes. And that is, what are your three top Juicy Life ingredients? And I'm really curious to hear what this answer is. Mm-hmm.
What are my three top juicy ingredients? Okay. I've got two, and maybe the last one will come as I'm talking. The first one's music. So I love that when I came into this space, it was already queued up. It feels like the technology that's been given to us that can really permeate into all those little places. It can help us remember things. Have you all seen, there's a meme that's going around of this woman, I believe she's like in her 90s or something, and she has dementia, but they play her this song that she listened to when she was younger as a ballerina, and she's just like snapped right back there. So yes. Music is a big part of my life, a big part of my offering. The second one is dreams. And I'm going to have like a twofold. One is nighttime dreams. Actually, I was just looking at a diagram. I swear to God, a diagram from a time traveling dream I had not that long ago.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I time traveled in this dream. So I think dreams, and I guess the third would be a tangent of dreams, which is imagination. I really feel like that is such an important thing, and we can sort of parse it apart because we all know that creativity and imagination is important, but I think it's really the linchpin of our times. It's something that we really, really need to come forward within all of us. And I feel like it's sort of like a God-given, spirit-given thing we all came in with. We just have to kind of remember it. So music, dreams, imagination. I'll go with that. I could have so many more.
I know. Oh, yeah. Well, there's room for you to explore far more with us about these Juicy Life ingredients. But I would love to know, just because on the topic of imagination, I'm instantly like, yes. I'd love to know for you, how do you tap into your imagination? Are there some ways that you, you know, I don't know, turn it on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I kind of feel like it's always on for me, and I almost need to like learn how to unconnect from it. But I feel like it's the ingredient that we need most, because when we're thinking about how we move forward at a time like this, where every day there's something new that can really throw us off our kilter, right? Our spiritual center, if you will, our gifts and talents, this space that we know is true about ourselves. And I really feel like imagination is how we reimagine what's coming. It's how we build a bridge from where we are to where we're going. And if we can't even imagine that it's going to be better than it is, how can we take actual physical steps in the real world to create it? So I really feel like it's the big question of our time. Speaking of Instagram, I posted something last week where it was like, there's a creative urgency. I can feel it with all of us. And it's just brewing beneath the surface. And sometimes it looks like art and music and all the things we think about when we think about creativity and imagination. But sometimes it's really just like, how do we get ourselves out of the muck? How do we dream something new into being? And so this is the work. This is what I'm thinking about every day when I'm turning my imagination on and my creativity on to create an offering or have a conversation with my beloved or, you know, do A, B, and C. But having that muscle of creativity and imagination really can shift everything.
Oh, I feel that so much. Is there anything that you do to like set the space to like, you know, I'm going to set some time to go in? Is there any kind of like rituals or practices you do to tap into that reimagining or the creativity?
I think one of the most simple ones that I'm thinking of, because it can be very ritualized. You can sit down, you can light your incense, and you can like do all the things. But I really like, how many times has this happened to either one of you or anyone who's listening? You've got this like problem. You've been looking at it in this one way. You go on a walk with your dog, you put away everything, and bam, it's there. It's waiting for you. So to me, it's almost like creating a fallow space, a space with nothing, to where imagination, creativity, these good ideas can really find us. And I find that a lot just by like, all right, I'm putting my phone down, I'm putting all the things down, and I'm going on a walk. I'm just going to see what happens when I'm outside, when the wind is blowing, when I'm in the elements. Nature is a huge way that the information can find us. But I really find just creating space and time where there's not a lot else going on is when those good ideas can find you, when those solutions can find you, when that healing can actually be felt by you.
Mm. So bloody true. I feel that so much in my life. I'm always wrestling with this, you know, being a human being versus a human doing thing. And like, you know, there's so much of a drive for me to just do and go and create, because there's so many ideas and things that want to happen. But it, without the being, without the going for the walks, being in nature, nothing flows and the ideas don't come. And I've been trying to remind myself of that lately, like when I feel sticky, to just go for a walk. And it is unreal what pours through when I'm in that being space. So yeah. I love that you brought that back for myself and for everyone that is listening. I'd love to also talk about dreams, because I've been really fascinated with dreams lately, and more so the sleeping dreams, because it's an area before where I was like, I don't know. I just kind of was like, yeah, they just happen. And, you know, but lately we had a guy named Jim Curtis on our podcast. He's a hypnotherapist and a coach, and he's really into dreams. And he told us to do this practice where you write down, remember to remember my dreams. And so I've been doing that, and holy shit, do I ever remember more dreams when I do that? And we got into the topics of like traveling, like, you know, like you just said, time traveling in your dreams, and astral projecting, and just like all kinds of things in the dream space that seems possible. Can you tell us like what is it that you love about dreams, and what happens for you? What is time traveling in dreams? So curious.
Say all the things.
All the things.
Yeah. No, I love it. So we spend a third of our life sleeping, like a third. And so when I think about places that are powerful, to me, what happens in the dream is the ultimate solvent for everything else out there. And to me, the dreams populate. Of course, we can talk about our psyche. We can talk about all the things that are going on with us, but they're really just these little nightly reminders of, well, first of all, here's one thing about dreams. If we did not dream, if we did not go into REM, rapid eye movement spaces, our heart rate wouldn't lower enough for our body to go into a really healing phase of sleep. And so when I just think about that little scientific wink about what dreams are, and then we get these really perfectly laid out, sometimes really confusing buffet of what's really going on with us. And of course, there's all kinds of dreams. There's even numinous dreams where this has happened to me before, where I've had a dream and then lived into that reality in some way. The dream was giving me a piece of information I needed for the real world. And I really look at dreams like that, even if it's the most mundane dream. Some people are like, all I'm ever doing is standing in front of a washing machine and nothing's ever really happening. You know, I'm not having these like time traveling. I'm not flying. I'm not doing all this fun stuff. And I really think you can go into the tiniest fragment of the dream and find a little nugget for yourself. And I can even give some pointers, because I've really over the years worked a lot with dreams and gone to dream retreats and had dream teachers and had people who I share my dreams with. And they really have shown me so much about what's hidden underneath, and also the potentialities of what's all around us. You know, being a multidimensional being, What does happen when I dream? Am I leaving the body? I have certain beliefs about all this, but yeah, dreams are a huge part of, I think, what makes me so creative in the waking time, is having this big relationship with my dreams. Literally my first journal, and then I'll breathe and let you all talk. My first journal was a dream journal. And you know, back in fifth and sixth grade, I was dreaming a lot about boys and music and creative things, mm-hmm. but that definitely set me on a trajectory to really be a dreamer and to be really connected to my nighttime dreams and the dreams that I hold in the waking.
Mm. Yes. So many questions for you, but first of all, could you tell us or tell our listeners, what are some of the ways that we can work with our dreams?
Well, first of all, you can definitely do the what was the mantra that the dream guy gave you?
Remember to remember my dreams.
If you're not dreaming, there is a process I like to call calling your dreamer back, awakening your dreamer. And there's a few things you can do. You can look at your space around you. What does your space look like? Is it conducive to dreams? Are you on your screen until a second before you fall asleep? Do you have some sort of, I like to like sort of pack the day away. So like, you know, after eating dinner, after I've done all my things, I like to have time between looking at my screen and going to bed. And so for me, if I go through seasons where I'm not dreaming, I just bump up my sort of like dreaming hygiene and I look at my space. Is it dark enough? Is it cool enough? Am I worrying? Do I need to pull out a journal and do a brain dump of everything that's on my mind? Not to get rid of it, because the dream can really use all of these things that we're like. You can even ask like for a specific dream to answer a specific question. There's so many things you can do with dreams. And one of the first things I look at is the dream hygiene. And then really just setting the intention to work with your dreams and to remember them. And for me, that does look like now I have this like pretty connected cord between my dreaming self. So like I just unlocked a new skill in the dream time, and it was telekinesis. So I saw something that I wanted to have and it came towards me, and the waking me was like, whoa, what just happened? You've got to remember this. So I was already telling myself, you got to remember this. You got to write it down. But if that cord is not as tight, as soon as you wake up, and if you even have the tiniest dream fragment, you can either put pen to paper and write it down. Or what I do is I turn my phone on airplane, I open up, I have the audio part open. So, and I also turn down the light. So it's really, really not too bright and I don't wake myself up, but I'll just say my dream. And one of my favorite things is to listen back to all just like my groggy voice being like, then this happened and then this happened. And then, you know, the next day or the next few days, I'll actually write out the dream, and it depends on if I'm working on my dream alone or if it's, you know, not that any dreams are throwaway dreams, but some dreams are like, okay, I got to call my friend and tell her about a dream. And yeah, so those are some of the things I've done. And I'd like to share my friend recently, when I was in Panama, she literally had a dream for me. It was something that I was ruminating over, and it was like something about my partner. And she goes, I had the strangest dream last night. We met your partner as a child, and we were able to talk to him and ask him about some of these things that you want to know about now. So there's dream cords and dream threads. Oh, and wow. Dream friends. It's a really powerful, free, happens every night. You don't have to make it happen. I think you just have to reconnect with your dreamer so you can start getting the information that is there for you.
Oh God, this is like a whole playground that I'm really excited to play in now. This is very fun. So I'm curious. So you've built the capacity, it sounds like, or the ability to be able to not lucid dream necessarily, but be able to like be aware of the human awake self while dreaming. So you're like, remember this, like there's a part of you that's online that's like knows you're dreaming and is able to kind of clock pieces, which is super cool. And is that something that you just built through like practice of like, you know, waking up and writing down your dreams or voicing your dreams, or has that always kind of been there?
Well, I think it's definitely a muscle. I've always been a dreamer, and I do remember being younger and having lucid dreams. Those are kind of far and few in between. Maybe I've had like seven, and you know, I'm in my fourth decade, so I've had like thousands of dreams by now. And I've had maybe seven where I'm like fully on deck. And I think that's one of the gems and the nuggets of dreams, is to bring lucidity to the version of you in the dream. So the version of you has that lucidity too, has that awakening, you know, in the spiritual community. There's a lot of talk about awakening. Okay. I was sleeping before. Now suddenly I see everything different. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about dreams, is that they really are trying to wake you up. That's what I feel is one of their main components. And, you know, when we have, so like when we unlock a new level in that dream and we're lucid, what does it mean about you now here, the waking part of you? And what does it mean when you've had a reoccurring dream where you're running and you're fighting and finally you stand up to the bully and everything changes, and that reoccurring dream is kind of flushed out and there's a new layer and a new level that you're working with yourself? And so there's literally so much intelligence to dreams. I always tell people that dreams are part of like the $1 billion budget, like movie in your head. Have you ever had a dream? Like, oh my God, like all these things happening. How could it happen? It seems so real. Uh-huh. You know, that's the part of you that you can tap into for information, for wisdom, and for growth.
Mm. Yum. You buried a little Easter egg in there earlier when you said that you have certain beliefs about what happens to you when you're dreaming. Say more. Tell us.
Well, as someone who's clocked a lot of hours with recording dreams, I probably have, you know, I have a dream hotline. I almost forgot about that. People can call in and leave their dreams. So not only have I clocked hundreds and thousands of hours of my own dreams, but I've listened to you all's dreams as well. And so
cool.
I've had some dreams that feel more like an out-of-body experience. I've also, because I dream so much, experienced sleep paralysis. And, you know, I listened to some indigenous people who have a real history with dreams, because there's a lot of cultures that would literally wake up around the witching hour, around 3 or 4, and they would share their dreams because they would give them information about the next days, the next weeks, the next months. And so I've had dreams where I feel that there's a tether between my physical form and wherever the astral body goes when it dreams. Is it another dimension? Is it real? You know, another Easter egg's coming, because I'll come back to that in a minute. But coming back to the body when something, you know, I've had dreams where I'm going down, a waterfall. And it's startling. I'm scared. And so part of what the body does, so you're not like, when you're acting out your dreams, have you ever seen a dog having a dream and its little leg is like kind of moving, but it's not flailing? It's like part of the intelligence of the body to shut down the ability to move, so you don't act things out, hurt yourself. And so sometimes in coming back to that, there's a delay between the tether and the body. And a lot of people report seeing a lot of really scary things. And I always tell myself that I live in a loving universe, that whatever's there, that I can, you know, I can move through. But I've definitely had some, okay, I'm somewhere else, I'm not quite in the body, and then boom, I'm back in the body. So I've had that experience. And I know that there's a lot more going on than we think there is. And the second Easter egg I'll drop is that there's something called the gateway process. And maybe like 5-6 years ago, the CIA declassified these files, and it basically was the process or protocol to have an out-of-body experience. And it really wasn't even looked at as like this spiritual thing. It was more like, what can this human body do? Let's study it. And so they did with this institute called the Monroe Institute. And really what puts you in that space, music, frequency, breath, meditation, and intention. And they led hundreds of people through this. And then they wrote out this report. And it just gives me chills to think about it, because it kind of confirms the reality that I feel like we're living in. You know, I feel like not a lot of people, like, we're talking about everything that's quantifiable. And of course, there's some people who are mystics or into things that are esoteric, who are really speaking about life on all these levels. But dreams definitely it's part of the multidimensional reality that we live in. And that report, if you ever geek out and read it, there's all kinds of stuff that just really points to how things continue and how things are way more weird than we potentially think they are.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I've actually done the Gateway experience.
You have the squeeze. Yes.
Yeah. And it's super wild that, so yeah, for those of you listening, it's basically through sound waves that put you, like we probably all heard of delta, theta, beta sound waves, frequency waves. Through the sound waves, they put your body to sleep, but keep your consciousness awake so your consciousness can leave your physical body. And I mean, the amount of stuff that we learned in there and experiences that we had, out-of-body experiences, interdimensional travels, visiting loved ones that have passed over, spirit guides, other beings, like all kinds of crazy stuff is reported. And this is a company that like works with the CIA legitimately to do things to like astral projection, which is where you basically blast your consciousness to another part of the world to spy on people and stuff. Like it's insane what is possible, but it's really cool to tether. I'm glad. Actually, what's funny is that tonight at 5, I'm doing with my Gateway crew, we do meditations on Tuesday nights. So it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so perfect. But yeah, now I lost my train of thought because I just put those two
tethers
together. Tether. Oh, the dreams. Thank you for bringing it into that this is happening naturally in our dreams. Mm, that this is the variations of this are happening already naturally in our dreams, which is super cool. And I feel like you said, we spend a third of our life sleeping. This is this like whole playground now that I can also pay attention to and play with, which is really exciting. And it's really like, it sounds like the first step is really just paying attention, like noticing what your dreams are. And the voice memo tip is fucking priceless because I scribble mine. And in the morning, I'm like, what? Because the writing, it's dark. The writing is on top of each other. It's like, it's the other night I woke up and I was like, it's just, I'm so mad. I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
Oh my goodness. And then you didn't remember the dream. You just knew you were mad.
I was so mad.
Oh my gosh. I had this one dream once that's like probably the most prominent dream that I remember because I haven't quite figured it out yet, like what it was. And I was like waiting for something to like click into place. But I had this like it was like spectacular, beautiful dream. And I was like in the clouds and there was butterflies. And I had like my hand up and I was like touching the butterflies. And all of a sudden, like a hand poked out of the cloud and grabbed mine. And pulled me so hard that I woke up like this, like sitting straight up with my hand in the air. Ooh. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I was, at the time I was dating someone. It was right before the pandemic. And I was like, okay, I need to get out of here. That was the only way I could translate that for myself was something's going to happen. I've been warned. I need to get out of here. And I left. And then I just kind of like sat with that uneasy feeling all day, but nothing ever happened. And I was like, I don't know what that was about. I mean, maybe it was a sign for me to leave that relationship, but hey, I don't know. I mean, it was just like, it's still one of those dreams that's so like vivid to me in my mind that was just too real to not be something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something you can practice is dream reentry, which just requires imagination, a little bit of time. And especially if it's one like that, that feels like a cliffhanger, you can go in and kind of add meaning to it or see what's there. Sometimes you'll have impressions or feelings, but especially if it's something that feels scary that you'd like to move beyond, you can practice a meditation where you re-enter the dream and sort of shift the narrative. That's happened a lot. Mm-hmm. Or like, a good portion of my 20s, I was like, if I'm getting chased again tonight by some dude, I am so over this. So finally, I just started to fight back. And those dreams quickly shifted. And not that I don't have them anymore, but that's one thing. And then as you were speaking, I wanted to toss a little nugget out there. And it's by this woman named Carolyn Murphy, who does existential kink. She has a book called
Oh, yeah. I have that book and I haven't read it all the way yet. So
yeah. She's a big dreamer and I've done some work with her in the past. And a method that she, I don't know where she got it from, but it's called the alien method. So, and it's nice if you're working with a friend, but if you're not, it's super simple. And really you think about your dream and then try to convey it to a six-year-old. So say that there's a bird, instead of saying it's a bird, describe what a bird is, because all of the dreams are symbols, and they're symbols that are going to be relevant to just you. Because if there's butterflies in my dream, it might mean something totally different than the butterflies in your dream. So you really have to understand what that symbol is. Like, what do clouds convey to you? What do they make you feel? What did that hand feel like? You know, all of it. What is a hand? And then you like, you start to have, I have chills. You start to have little clues about yourself and what the symbolism of your dream is. But she just calls it the alien method. And it's been really helpful for myself to be like, oh, I wonder, like, what does this mean?
I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Clues about yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like we talk so much about how life is kind of it's just a mirror for us, and how our intuition, like if I pull an oracle card, what's more important than what the oracle card says is my feeling about it and my intuition about it. And so dreams can be another path where it's like through investigation, like what is this telling me? Like, what does it mean for me specifically? Why is it showing up? And it's just like another invitation to be inquisitive about myself and my experience. And I love this so much. I'm like getting really excited about nerding out hard on the dream space. So cool. Okay. So what about music? Let's talk about music a little bit, because you seem like you don't post a lot of music, but you seem like a very musical person.
There's always music attached to your
There's stuff, always music. Though. This is true. Yeah. This is true. There is always music. Yes. Yes.
It's like the third ingredient. It's like picture watching a movie without the soundtrack. It would just be a totally different experience. And so since music has been so pivotal in my life, my mom was a singer, and she was actually adopted, but the woman who adopted her was like an opera singer. So from the time, like some of my first memories are having those giant headphones on and just being like transported into other worlds by all of these, like the different things that my parents listened to. So music to me has been such a force, a spiritual teacher. And my latest project is actually about music. It combines so many of my loves. So music, divination, how to turn chaos into beauty through creativity, through imagination. And so it's called The New Romantics. And it's all about, well, it kind of, it talks about music as sacred science. Like, what is this force? What did other places believe about music? How does music transport you in your own life? And how can we use music kind of as divination? Because it's funny that you talked about being an oracle, because I love that word. I love my oracle card. Some people are like, I'm taking a break from my cards right now. And like, I get it. Sometimes you do, but they're these really like beautiful. It's almost just reminding me of what my intuition is, because I'll pick a card and I'll be like, ah, of course, you know, of course I got that card. It's not really telling you anything new. It's not necessarily predicting the future. It's tapping into what is most alive for you right now. And so, yeah, you know, just back to music, it's one of the forces that I feel has really kept me anchored on the planet. There's so much information that comes streaming in through music, and it passes all of our normal, our subconscious is so powerful. But with music, I feel like it literally just bypasses that gatekeeper. It lets in new information. You can like remember things that you thought you forgot. It's just such a, you know, I use the word romance, and it's not in the sort of typical way. And as I was doing this project, all of my favorite people had these like hidden quotes about romance. It's not like you. So Richard Rudd, who did the Gene Keys, is like just like my... I don't know who like him, like, not that, I don't know, just like someone so important in my life. And as I was reading through something with the Gene Keys, he had this, the most beautiful quote about romance, and he just got it. And then I stumbled upon this Maya Angelou quote, and it's nowhere else. And she's talking about what romance is. And it really, to me, is this evolutionary force. And I feel like music is the same thing. It's this evolutionary force that's here to help us, guide us, heal us, connect us, like connect us. That's what we need right now. And music, it's the medium through which so much magic can happen. And so it was like, it's always been that secret third ingredient. And I was like, I need to really give music its due. And especially because during, like after my mom passed, like part of what is in the New Romantics is, yes, a little bit about the Renaissance, a little bit about sound, but then it's kind of my step-by-step guide for how to turn any of your playlist into basically like a tarot card. And I've been using music like this for so long, for maybe 6 to 8 years. And I put out a couple teasers on my Instagram and people were like, oh my gosh, you got to tell me like how to do this. And one of the things I do is I speak to my mom and people on the other side without having to be a medium. Because if this territory for you is weird or it's not your thing, you do not have to use it like that. You can use it just like you would an oracle card or tarot card, more as a prescriptive thing in the moment. But I've really discovered all of these wormholes and loopholes and amazing things about music, you know, as I've been writing this book and just experimenting with the energetics.
Oh, that's so incredible. How do you use it to speak to your mom and to people on the other side? How does that work?
Well, the full thing is coming out in my book.
Yes.
Pre-order is going to happen soon. So I'll give little teasers, but the New Romantics is kind of a form of shuffle mancy. Mancy meaning divination and shuffle meaning using the shuffle button on anything. And when you think about like frequencies, energetics, music, or even like, is it important if we know how the oracle card works or when we pull it and it feels resonant, are we like, okay, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know all the secrets of the universe. I'm just going to rest in the mystery and trust. And I think that was part of what the New Romantics was for me and using a form of shufflemancy to have questions, because so many of the songs that would come back would have a little nugget of something my mom would say to me, or the tone of the question I asked and then the song that came would be resonant. So for me, it's really been like this very lived experience, but I've worked with some friends, I've worked with clients doing this, and they'll be like, oh my God, that song you sent. And I'll just be like, it's not me. It's like the system. Mm-hmm. So I know I haven't said a lot. It's a little cryptic, but it is a form of shufflemancy, but I show you exactly how I do it and have had really amazing results. And even this is kind of a sad story, but it's in my book. And so an example of it was, so I've been married before and I call that person in my life my husband. We remained really close, and he called me one day and just like his sister had really been struggling with mental illness, and unfortunately she took her own life. And so in that moment when everyone just was feeling so helpless, I was like, okay, let me go to my tools, which first of all is nature, being outside. But then when I came back, I was like, let me just ask for a few songs from Laura. Just where is she? You know, how did this happen? What went on? And the songs she sent me literally dealt with the topic of taking your own life. And it just gives me chills. I shared them with my former partner, and he just really, the three songs that came through, he really felt resonant too. And, you know, this is someone that's not necessarily like into all the woo, but really was like, okay, wow, that there is something to this. So yeah, just through experimentation, through willingness to suspend disbelief, and just really been surprised and delighted by really how all things, like it's sort of like the underlying message of the book really is that all things can be an oracle. I've told people like I can read the bottom of someone's shoe, and ooh, I have a special skill, which is I can listen to your voicemail if you've left one, and I can know a lot of things. And I've helped friends who have had voice messages that have portrayed kind of the opposite of what they wanted. Like, I had a friend who was in commercial real estate, and she just was not making sales. And every time I would call her answering machine, I'd be like, oh my God, should I tell her? And eventually I told her, and she changed her message that day, and it changed the trajectory. So, hey, you know, our
boy. I'm scared of you calling her voicemails right now. Please call me.
And really for anything, like, you want to bring love in, like, let me get at your answering machine message. So,
I'm nervous.
Yes.
It's all around us, and so many things can be an oracle. Ultimately, your body is the oracle, and that's really what I wanted to leave people with, was a sense of trust in what's inside of them and their ability to turn that up and turn all the other voices down, because we're so used to discounting anything that's not physical.
I love that. I love that you shared that, you know, you can do that through dreams or through music or for, you know, finding meaning in all things. Are there some other ways that people can really tune in to themselves, to trust themselves, to root in that, and able to, in order to, like, decipher messages?
I think for me, there is something about shutting out the world, shutting out all outside influence. For me, it's getting outside into something that's wild, that's not man-made, that I can't quite understand, and just listening to mm-hmm. yourself, cultivating that inner relationship. We're living in revolutionary times. We're living in times where the past isn't working anymore. We know we need something to shift, and that change comes through each of us as an individual. It's not so much about the systems. Yes, they matter, but it's really about attunement. And so having that inner attunement cannot happen if there's all these voices in our head, right? And there are a lot of voices. They tell us, like, we've got, like, so many thoughts a day. And where are those voices coming from? Is it from a past lover who said something to you that needs to be transformed? Is it from the government? Is it from culture? You know, all these voices. So I think that's something that has been really important to me, is to take time to, like, rest and digest and be in your own energy and figure out what's going on with you outside of everything else.
I love that. That's such a through line in your content that you put out on Instagram, is really, like, turning up your own voice, as you said, and, like, shutting down others, not shutting down others, but, like, being able to be sovereign, you know, like, who am I and what's my experience and how can I show up and not look to others to blame and stuff. I really appreciate the way you do that, and you navigate that with such love as well. It's super beautiful. I would love to ask you, where do you get stuck? Because you're so, like, plugged in, girl, and you're so awesome, but where is it sticky for you? Like, where does, we like to ask people, where in life do you not feel juicy? Where is it challenging?
Well, one of the shadow sides of the romantic sort of archetype is that the past has this really, like, allurement for me, and I can spend a lot of time, emotional energy, replaying things. I have a lot of Virgo, so I am thinking a lot, and it's hard to turn that off. And so for me, it's about remembering to get into the body, remembering that, and these are all terms we use a lot now, but remembering that that's a safe place to be, even if there's aches or pains or things that we're still trying to figure out. I think for me, it really is about just accepting the beauty, the highlight reel with the messiness that had to happen to make that true, and not really rejecting any part of my human experience or someone else's, because, you know, the same freedoms that we want for ourselves, we have to allow the other person to have, even if they're, like, diametrically opposed. There is a space that we can return to where both things can be true. At least I found that. I think, like, you know, Richard Rudd says that real wisdom comes through the willingness to be with paradox and the willingness to be with, like, dichotomy. And so I've learned to, and I'm still learning how to be good at that. But I mean, all the human stuff, y'all, like and just like stinking thinking, you know, just very human. Like you don't have to, I just refuse to like divide myself into these little pieces anymore. And the work really has been accepting the whole, because if we don't, this is what I was thinking about today. If we don't accept the really messy place we're at and try to find beauty in it, then its hold is going to just stay with us because we're resisting it. But if we can come into this really messy time in the world and in our lives and find something that's beautiful and amplify that, then that energy can move. And so, you know, just all the human things. Guilty. Yes. Guilty. Just like guilty.
Yes.
Aren't
yes,
we all?
Yes. Would love to know. We've talked so much about all your juicy life ingredients. And love to know for you, why do you think living a juicy life on an individual level is important for the collective?
I've definitely had a love affair with the word juicy. All of my usernames used to be "Isn't Life Juicy?"
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, when I think of, there's something about the ability to be with your emotions and juicy. I kind of lost the thread of your question, but I'm just going to go with like what's coming. Yeah. Just kind of like a metaphor for life and what happens when we're dry and brittle and we're so sure about who we are. Like literally, have you ever just smelt an old man's breath and you're like, ew, it's just because he's so set in his ways. Like you can literally smell yes. what that smells like. But you know, even like I think about something that's like juicy and filled with life and movement and, you know, I think that that is health. Health to me is that. It's not being dry. It's not being brittle. It's not being inflexible, but it's finding where it may feel like that and then bringing the lubricant of whatever, creativity, mm-hmm. movement, literal water. Water is like blowing my mind right now. This is, do you all follow Veda Austin?
No.
Okay. She would be amazing on here. She's picking up where Dr. Emoto sort of left off and she's freezing things and little petri jars and she's thinking about something and then it'll freeze or she's showing a seed, but then the seed shows the potential of what's there. It'll show like a bloom, like she's doing like some magic with water. Mm. So I just think about being juicy. I think about being filled with life. I think about being vibrant, no matter what age you're at, no matter what shifted, no matter if this vibrancy looks different than your 20-year-old vibrancy. I just think of like, you know, this.
Yeah.
Yummy,
and the
yummy.
More the more this you are, does that have an impact on people around you?
Of course, yeah, because back to the gene keys, and I love the number 3, and Richard says that, you know, on some level, our aura is penetrating everything that we come across. So it's not just my energy, it's my energy, your energy, and then the world that we create together. So, you know, there is something to be said for, so a thing we used to do was just like proselytize by being like, this is what you should do. This is what this book said. And I think those days are gone too. And the way that we really open people's hearts is by being our most radiant, authentic self. Like this is what makes people curious about what you're doing. This is what opens the doors. This is what gets you on a podcast with you two beautiful women. It's really just about stepping in. And never more has it been more needed. And never more has it been easier. Like, because so many people are kind of stuck in the muck and the mire. To stand up and show yourself as soulful or show something about yourself is so life-affirming to people who are kind of stuck in that. Like even with my partner, we were just in Panama and I was like, okay, I'm in the weeds. Like you're going to need to like extend a hand for me right now, because I'm like caught in the past and just like in the weeds. And, you know, when we do stand up and we show ourselves, it has this really powerful effect on ourselves, our families, everything in our radius shifts. Like literally the ground that we're walking on shifts, people.
Yes.
That's so fantastic. When you said my energy, your energy, and then the energy we're co-creating with the world, the ringing in my ears deafened me. It was like, okay, I'm paying attention. You shifted the frequency right there. Like it was just, it's so important. And that brings it back to what you were saying earlier about how we, when we start accepting all those dark parts of ourselves, that's how we come back into wholeness. And that's how we are shifting again, the ground we're walking on, we're shifting everything. Yum. So good. So beautiful. I think that might be like where we wrap her up, but please, before we do, because thank you for all of the wisdom you shared, please share with us where people can find you, what's coming up. We know that your book is coming up. Give us details and anything you would like to share with our audience.
Thank you so much. Well, there's a quote that came to mind, and it was about the job of the artist or the revolutionary. And it's really to make the revolution irresistible. There's so much that's being played out that is not that. And so when we turn on, when we, you know, light up, when we inhabit our full voice, there's something irresistible about that. And if people want to know more about me or work with me or find the New Romantics, you can go to aishaophelia.com. Pre-orders are happening any day now. I'm working with a kind of a small boutique publisher here in Texas, and I just sent last week the final edits. And so it looks good, y'all. I didn't think I would be as excited to have this physical thing like in my hand, because so much of what I do is like one-on-one or groups, or it's just like art for in a digital format. I used to be very much hands-on art, so it just feels really good to have it. And I can't wait to get it into as many hands as is calling out for something like this. So I appreciate it.
We can't wait. We'll be on the list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay. Absolutely. Yay. Thank you for being here and for radiating all your gorgeous wisdom and energy and humility. So appreciated.
So many shivers during this conversation. So good.
Seriously. Both for my first threesome, it was not as serious.
When you said Richard Rudd believes in the power of threes, I was like, that's a callback right there to this threesome. There you go.
I didn't say the whole quote. It was like, it was like, I just posted it. Everything that you interact with, your penetration. He's like, basically everything's about sex, because everything that you come across, your energy is penetrating that, and you're creating this new form. And that's what life is.
Yeah. That is my kind of orgy, my friends. Yeah. That is it.
Here
right
for
there.
It. Here for it. Here for it. Thank you so much.
I love it so much.
That was so yummy. Much. I know. I love what she just said, like near the end there, where she said, make the revolution irresistible.
Yes.
And that gave me full body shivers, because I think really that is what we're trying to do, right? Like this, a revolution to come, to be here, to live a juicy life, to really plug into that and know that we deserve it. That's why we came. We're here to enjoy. Yeah. We're here to learn and grow and be love and be with each other. And I think if we can make that revolution irresistible, right? Yes. Like it's juicy, right? Yes. Like you want to enjoy yourself. That is the revolution.
Yes.
Because we're not doing that. We're asleep at the wheel. And this is it. This is it, people.
Yes. And also, like Toni Jones says in her Healing Is Not My Purpose song, it's like she says, my purpose is to be in joy. My purpose is to have fun. My purpose is to be love. It's we can also get caught in the trap of being kind of growth junkies, healing junkies, you know, so we may be doing the work, but it may not be either coming from the right place or heading us in the right direction as well. Yeah. So it is like, we're like, wake up, but also like wake up to the enjoyment of life, the pleasure of life, the deep inner connection of life. And I think, you know, it sucks, but so often we don't do that unless tragedy happens. And that's why we are so trying to make it irresistible mm-hmm. to choose this life yep. and yep. not have it forced upon you.
Yep. It's a celebration of life while living. Like, that is what I am here for. Yeah. Right? Like, it's just, yeah. So I'd love to know for you, Aaliyah, like, what are some of the ways that you forget, you know, that we get caught up in the work, in the doing and the healing process, that we forget to be living a juicy life?
Yeah, I would say for me, if I am in scarcity mindset, like if I'm like, I, you know, need money, if I'm looking to what are other people thinking about me versus mm-hmm. like, how am I thinking about me and how am I actually feeling? Then I start to try and force and control things. And I use anxiety to motivate myself. Like, I like mm-hmm. kick up a bunch of fear and energy and I just start spinning my wheels and I stop tuning in and listening. And so once I get on that hamster wheel, I just start moving. And that's where I really run the risk of like disconnecting and not appreciating and savoring all of the stuff that's already around me. I'm looking for where I'm failing. I'm looking for what I don't have that I think I need. I'm basically in all of the lack and not yeah. in the abundance.
Yeah, totally. I think yeah. like for me, it's the anytime I recognize a should. It's pretty much a very clear indication. I'm like, yeah. I should be working more on this thing. And it's not rooted from, it's not coming from a place of connectedness for me. It's not coming from a place where I feel grounded. And yeah. It's not coming from a place of alignment. Then yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's about scarcity, or it's about people pleasing, or it's about trying to conform or whatever it might be, but it's not coming from my true essence.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great indicator and simple indicator of that. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky, mm-hmm. I think, sometimes because like I can be inspired and connected and be like, I'm going to create this project that's going to be really, that feels really heart connected and feels really beautiful. But then I might somewhere along the line get uncomfortable because I don't, like, I hit a sticky spot and it becomes hard. And so then I will kind of, you know, avoid the thing. And then there's a part of me that's like, I should do that. I should get back to that. And that, I'm just bringing that part up because I think that that's where there's a should there that wants to be dug under and like gotten more deeper into the like, okay, I do want to get reconnected to that project, mm-hmm. but how do I work around the should of it? How do mm-hmm. I get more back mm-hmm. to the heart connection of like the original place that I started that project from and then plug in from there and move from yeah. that place? I just bring that up just because I feel like, I don't want people to think that like anytime you have a should, it's something that like you shouldn't be doing. Uh-huh. It's more about like reconnecting to the why.
Yep. Yep. And also recognizing if there's an obligation attached, right? Like if I'm obligating myself to do something that I no longer want to do, that's something that, you know, I need to look at for myself. Or if I'm obligating to do something because I feel like I have to for someone else.
Yeah.
Something for me to look at there. If I am lost the motivation and I'm shooting on myself, it's a different thing, you know, where I need to go back to the original source of motivation and chip away there. Start there.
Totally. Totally. How excited are you about your dreams?
You know what? It made me think about meditation, and it made me think about, you know, the ways that I've had more, I don't know, not luck experimenting, because that's not true. I mean, it's easier to do it in a dream state because your body's already relaxed. But I think we spend so much time trying to get into a waking dream state with meditation.
Yeah.
You know, that it's interesting that it happens naturally when we're sleeping. We just don't give it any street cred, you know?
Yeah.
We're like, it's just It's a dream. It doesn't mean anything. But what if it does?
Yeah. And how does that translate to this waking dream that we're all living? You know, it's, I just think it's so cool to be able to have this other playground to, even just when she said, she asked herself, like, why don't I fight back in this dream with, like, you know, the man chasing me? Because I have those dreams for sure. And I was like, yeah, why don't I tell myself in the waking dream, when that happens, I'm going to fight back and see if I can shift that in my dream space. I've certainly had dreams where they feel prophetic, like they're showing me some sort of talent, ability, thing that I either have possessed in a past life or, you know, currently possess because of a past life or something, and have loved the notion of, like, bringing that forward into this lifetime. But I think there's also something about, like, consciously bringing things into your dream time and playing with them there. And how does that affect real time? I don't know. It's just, it's like happening in, like, your dreams are coming from your subconscious too. So, like, I feel like there's a reprogramming that's happening, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm putting it all together and it feels very exciting.
I love that she shared. It's kind of like, sometimes they feel like a buffet, because it is. Yes. It's like a buffet of recycled materials from your day. And then some things that you have no idea where they came from. And they're all trying to, like, you know, compete for your attention. And you're like, what the hell? Like, what does this even mean? But there are, I mean, there is hidden meaning in a lot of things. Whether it's not necessarily that it has to mean something super profound. It just might be something trying to work its way out, as Jim talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something trying to leave you by resurfacing so that it can, like, you know, recycle itself out.
Totally. And there's something about putting our attention on it, like giving our attention to it, that I think helps to sort of process it in an intelligent way, like bringing the light to us, something so that it can be released or can be worked with. Or, like she said, sometimes there's symbols that come, and, like, how does that symbol show up and what does it mean to you and how can you use that in your life? It's really just putting your attention on it and giving yourself or asking the question, like, what does this mean to me? That allows space for that, like, that shift to happen because of the inner connection that you're creating with it.
I also love that she shared so much, you know, a few times about that fallow space, that creating that space. I think that is really such an antidote for our society, you know, that we don't give enough credence to creating that quiet space to hear ourselves. And I know certain people who do not want to hear themselves. I used to be one of those people, especially in exercise. It's like, I can't do yoga because I cannot hear myself talking to myself. Because my critical self-talk at that time was really bad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, put them beats on, because I need something to, like, drown out the noise that's in my head.
Yeah.
And now I intentionally create that space to be quiet, to listen to myself, to work things out in my journal, to, you know, meditate, or just be like with a cup of coffee looking at nature, like whatever it is, to commune, to be quiet and to give myself that space. Even if messages or whatever, they don't come through for me, it's really about just creating that space to, like, sort of wipe the slate clean almost and come back home to myself, so that I can then be in a place where I'm more charged up to create something new.
Absolutely. It's the filling of the cup, the self-nurture. And to be real with, you know, everyone listening, like, for me, I still struggle to cultivate the space and to get into it a lot. Like, I know it's good for me. I love it. And yet the initial creating of the space and holding that space as sacred is challenging. Like,
it's challenging for me too.
Yeah. It's, I just want to, like, keep it on the reel over here. It's so much easier for me to fill it with a bunch of to-dos and to be like, okay, this space, we're just gonna sit and be and contemplate this space. We're going to go for a walk. Walking is mm-hmm. one of my hacks, because it's easy for me to tell myself, like, get outside, move your body. Like, there's, it's a shift of energy. And so that for me is a little, often a little bit easier, but even still, like, sometimes the seduction is so real to just keep plowing away and not feel whatever is going on. So mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. it's that fallow space is where all of the, yeah, the nourishing and the juice and things really pour in for me. And I feel like every single time I'm like, right, yeah, no, I need this
yeah.
more.
I need this more. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Amazing. Well, that was such a great conversation. And I can't wait to chat with her again. I felt like we could have chatted her ear off for hours.
Yeah,
more. She just has so much on the go, so many exciting things that I wanted to know about everything. There just wasn't enough time.
100%. We will definitely revisit that, because she is incredible. And yeah.
And I really hope she doesn't call my voicemail. Like, I feel like now I need to check my voicemail.
I hope she does. I want to know, like, what do I need to do to attract this partner and all the abundance?
I feel like your voicemail is good. I feel like
maybe, mine is hilarious.
Oh my God. I'm actually like,
mine is like, just, okay.
I'm going to call my phone right now, and we can listen to it and see.
Okay. We see what our listeners think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hold on. Let me see. Let's do it. Cause I'm nervous.
Do you need me to call you? How does it work?
I don't know. Can I call myself?
Can you? I guess so.
Let's see. Oh, hold on.
You need to put on speaker.
Yeah. Let me. Oh no. You have to call me.
I think so.
Yeah. You're right.
And then
I'll
put it on speaker over here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's try this.
You're on my favorites list, so that's easy.
Oh my gosh. I'm kind of nervous.
Hi, you've reached Warren. Please leave a message and I'll call you back. Thanks.
Little lackluster.
A little lackluster for you, buddy.
Uh-huh. It is.
Surprised. Can you call mine? It's so old, but I feel like...
No, yours is good. It's like, have a great day.
I know, but I'm like, I feel like, does it need a revamp? I mean, it's been on there for years.
Mine definitely needs a revamp.
Your needs more your vibe. That's not.
You don't have a do not disturb on. It's going to ring all the way through.
You do?
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail.
Wait, that's not right.
Which is not available at the tone.
Who's that very American dude?
That was your phone number, dude. I don't know.
Oh, maybe if I did like an update or something?
Oh, no.
Okay, yours is worse.
All right.
Well, mine is worse now. Yeah. Mine used to say, hey, it's a beautiful day. You reached Aaliyah. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not in right now. So please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. It was very much more me, but now I have an opportunity to create a new one.
No, yours was like, hey, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, mine was great because you really got to tell whoever left a message, it said more about them than it did about, I think, me and my message, because some people would be like, oh my God, I love your voicemail. So many people are like, I love your voicemail. Yeah. I feel so enlivened after listening to it. I feel so brightened up. Uh-huh. And then some people would be like, it's not a beautiful day. It's a fucking rainy day, Aaliyah.
Or they leave like a straight up professional message, and you're did you hear that? Did you hear that message?
Yeah, just super serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
true
good
story,
to know.
Though,
we need to change that.
That same message that I used to have on my phone, hey, it's a beautiful day, you've reached Aaliyah, is the same answering machine message that my parents still have from when I used to live with them decades ago. It's me on the answering machine saying, hey, it's a beautiful day. You've reached the O'Briens. Sorry, we're not in right now, but please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So every time I call my parents and they don't answer, I hear myself 20 some odd years ago.
Oh my God.
Isn't that so funny?
And they keep the answering machine because they don't want to lose that message. And so they have like a phone with an answering machine, but they use this old school answering machine. Isn't that so cute?
That is so cute. Your parents are the best. Your parents are so cute.
They're adorable. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys go now. I clearly need to change my voicemail
and you need to have a beautiful day all, please.
I do. Yes. And everyone should also have a beautiful day.
Yes. Thank you. We don't need to say any.
No.
Thanks. Okay. We don't, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, X and.
That's funny.
And here are the takeaways. Number one, imagination is how we reimagine what is coming, how we build a bridge from where we are to where we're going.
Number two, create a fallow space, a space for nothing, for creativity to flow through and the healing to find you.
Number three, we spend a third of our life sleeping. We can use that space to support us in our waking time.
Number four, practice dream hygiene. Have a dark space, a cool space, set intentions to work with dreams, have a journal or voice memo nearby.
Number five, investigate your dreams by practicing the alien method. Explain it as though you're talking to a six-year-old and see what your intuition tells you.
Number six, music helps you bypass the gatekeeper of your mind. It can be an evolutionary force to help guide, heal, and connect us.
Number seven, turn your playlist into tarot cards by asking questions and playing shufflemancy.
Love that one. Number eight, your body is the oracle. Trust what's inside you.
Number nine, real wisdom comes through the willingness to be with paradox.
Number 10, our energy is penetrating each other. Be your most radiant, authentic self. It opens all the doors and it changes our entire radius.
Ooh, love beams, love beams. Yes. Just spreading it around. Oh, I love that so much.
Well, this was a yummy episode. And totally. If you're not following Aisha, please do, because you are in for a real treat. She just, I swear, everything she puts out is both entertaining and deeply moving. So get down on it. And if this episode resonated with you, please, please share it with somebody that you know that would appreciate it. Somebody that's maybe into dreams, oracles,
tarot.
Yeah. And one last request. If it's not too much trouble, please leave us a review. We would love to hear what you think about this episode, and the reviews really do help us. So thank you so, so much in advance. We love you
so much.
We appreciate you. We wish you the most juicy week ever.
Yes, we do.
And we'll see you back here next week. Thanks so much. Bye.
At a time we all need a second lease on life, an opportunity to begin again, to begin anew, to see ourselves differently. Why for you was this the right time? Was this the right time?